This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cam Smith, the star today. Not one, but two homers today. I was about to get rolling.
About to get rolling here.
But they're playing the Mets, playing pretty well as the fellas. I'll give him credit. Force Whitley.
Nice landing, didn't he?
He played baseball today. So good for him.
I'm a real boy.
I had to dig that one out, didn't you, Tyler?
Been a minute.
He did look. You know what?
He looks so happy.
Despite this person who texted, why does it feel Ron takes pleasure in talking down about our pro sports? I don't know what it. You send in, you texter or anyone, please send in suggestions on how I can sound like I'm not trying to take out Houston sports teams. I'd like for the inflection in my voice. Please help me with that.
Hold on, Joe.
But I did. I enjoyed to see the happiness of him in the dugout. Did you see him?
He looked legit, like, joyful talking
did,
to Julian
man.
Morales.
Like, he got through an inning, got
oh, force?
Yeah,
he did. He's learned to deal with it. Hell, he's had plenty of experience.
Well, he's probably just happy to be there in the dugout.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. Hell, I mean, he had him a nice little inning. Let's go over here and chit-chat with Julia.
The greatest stat that I ever heard was that he was in the organization before Yuli Gurriel was.
That's a punch right to the nuts.
That was the one that I still don't know if I believe it. I saw it, but I still don't know if I believe it that he got there before he did. The Astros do go ahead and win behind Cam Smith and others, 8-5. So Sean and Seth, who were at the game, who knows what they're about to do now, celebrating an Astros victory. They'll find somewhere local to get after it. They're having themselves a good time. I'm sure Alex Spolane will join them soon.
Out there chasing iguanas in Florida.
Is that what they're doing?
Yeah, watching the Astros chasing iguanas, man.
Oh, Seth's...
And that's not code for anything,
Seth's bewilderment with the behavior and sight of iguanas had me giggling to myself.
I think I'm going the other way.
What's that?
I think I'm chasing iguanas. I'm going to go ahead and move on about my day.
Oh, yeah. No, that's not going to be part of my pastime. But look, they seem to be entertained.
They're having a good time.
Lizard.
Tyler looked like you chase
Tyler people. Would have one with his pet. He'd have one coming to him.
Yeah, he would. And name it.
I named a lot of them last time I was in Mexico. They were running around on the beach, and we started naming them each morning.
God, how drunk do you have to be?
Very.
Let me start naming these puppies.
That's what dark liquor out in the Mexican sun will do to you.
There you go. That's what. What were you drinking?
A little bourbon, a little whiskey.
There you go. As I said, that dark liquor, that sounds like you.
Remember, y'all gave me hell for drinking old fashions by the pool.
Yeah, so you did. So you,
don't
so
say,
you
hey.
The, so you moved
hey.
To the beach.
Don't say y'all. I defended you. You drink what you want to drink.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Clint was the one.
And you drink what you want to drink whenever you want to drink it, and I'm free to think whatever I want to think whenever
sure,
I want to think.
Sure.
If you drinking that out on the damn beach in the mornings, naming iguanas, yeah, I'm
I had never done it before.
I'm gonna give you that 1-800 number.
And I am convinced I will
deep
do
in that
it.
Liquor.
I will do it out of spite, and I will send you a phone number.
Hey, holding an old fashioned like this old fashioned with an iguana in the background. That's old Hank over there. Hey, that's Hank right there.
And with Courtney sitting there next to me saying, "You know you don't want that damn thing." I had that purple. Damn. I had that sweater vest. You know you don't want that.
And I used to rock the hell out of some sweater vests.
Did you?
Yeah, when I worked at that church, I had like five or six of them.
Did you wear short sleeve button ups underneath it?
Long sleeve, but I would normally roll the sleeves.
Okay,
up.
But they started long sleeve. Yeah,
yes.
those are like people with little teeth. I don't trust you. Sweater vest, short sleeve shirt.
I gotta agree there.
I really just have a distaste for people who wear suits, blazers, and have short sleeve shirts underneath.
Yeah. What the hell?
That's not good enough.
It's not the right move. Not good enough. No.
All right. I thought this was something D'Amico had to say at the combine, and I think, fellas, this is to me probably the thing I'm most confident in D'Amico Ryans when it comes to him as a head coach. I think he's a really, really good head coach that has the potential to be a great head coach in this league. And after 2 years, he's well on his way. We've talked about the culture, all of the things that he has been able to do and instill and establish since he's been here. But to me, this may be the thing that gives me most confidence about him when it comes to being a head coach.
The biggest value I get from being here is just being able to sit down across from the players face to face, be able to hear their story, hear their background, their upbringing, but also just get to feel their energy and feel their passion and love for the game of football. It comes off in those 15-minute interviews, and I can feel that energy very instantly.
I think, fellas, to me, like there's some things here, man. We've been critical of decisions and things that D'Amico has done, and you know, I'm sure we will continue if given reason to do so. But we've also praised him as well. And to me, Clint, this is one where I think he does a great job of sitting down to me, especially with young players, but rookies, free agents. I think he can sit down with these cats and completely get a real understanding of that matches what I'm looking for.
Yes.
That fits what I'm looking for. Now, I'm not saying players he's inherited, but I'm saying when he sits down and he sits with Kamari Laster and could say, yeah, I know he runs a 4.6 or whatever, but that fits exactly what I'm looking for. Will Anderson, that fits exactly. CJ, that fits exactly what I'm looking for. Obviously, the free agents that he brought in as well. I think that is, to me, and that's not always the case, to be able to have a coach to have the eye to see the talent and see the inside of a person and say, that guy fits exactly the culture and everything I'm trying to create.
Yeah, look,
I think that's something he's great at.
I agree wholeheartedly with you, Ron. I think when you look at the two main decision makers with this football team, when you look at Nick Caserio, I believe the biggest advantage that he's brought to the Houston Texans was when the way he built the team from scratch, and he just said, I'm not making any exceptions. I'm not going to have any cancers in the building. I'm not going to have any misfits in the building. Get the hell out. We're going to build this from the ground up. I think that's by far the biggest advantage that Nick Caserio has brought to the Houston Texans organization since he got here. You look at D'Amico Ryans, I think the biggest advantage, and this is a mouthful because he is a great defensive coordinator. There's no doubt about it. But I think the biggest advantage that D'Amico Ryans, the coach, brings to this organization is exactly what you just said. His ability to evaluate players in a very comfortable, normal, authentic, genuine, sincere way, and then identify the guys that play the game the way that he wants the game. He thinks the game should be played, which is that swarm mentality, which is with a next level physicality. His ability to find those guys his willingness to be aggressive and go get those guys in drafts, and how often he's hit on those guys. I think it's the biggest advantage that DeMeco has brought to date in terms of, he's got a lot of advantages. Like I said, he brings a lot to the table, but I think the number one thing was getting this organization to where you are a 9-10 win team that, especially with the division in the shape that it's in, you're going to be the favorite to win it. You're definitely always going to be in the conversation to win it, regardless of what's going on around you. Getting to that point, I think DeMeco and Nick have done those two things, and I think it's the biggest advantage we've seen them create so far.
And Clint, even since the time that DeMeco has arrived, we've seen some change with certain players, different guys in and out. And I think that is also a big point. And now C.J. Stroud had a lot to do with it, but I think that's also a big part of why the change in terms of success happened so quickly. Because I think he can evaluate and see, all right, that fits. Mm-hmm. That fits exactly what I am going to need to have. And I think you're right. Nick, obviously some of the guys that were already here could fit that mode as well. But I don't think that's always easy. I think sometimes we see coaches who make mistakes or teams make mistakes and think, ooh, man, I'm enamored by that talent.
Yep.
And that talent, I'll just make that talent fit. And sometimes that talent doesn't fit what your culture and what it is that you need and expect from your team. And I think they do a great job, especially DeMeco. And when he sits across from guys, like, to me, I don't know how, I'm not going to sit here and guarantee it'll work, but I would imagine the guys that he sits across with, that he feels like he wants to go with in this draft, will be guys that fit, you know, as you guys were saying last week, swarmy.
Oh, yeah, swarmy mentality, man.
That swarminess.
That guy's swarmy. That guy's swarmy.
That makes me feel weird.
I agree. I don't like it either.
Yeah. By the way, I wonder if this guy would be swarmy to DeMeco. Clint, this has been reported this morning that Commanders defensive tackle Jonathan Allen, who has 1 year remaining on his deal, was informed by the franchise of the Washington Commanders that he has permission to seek a trade per sources. I don't know about you, Clint.
Bad MF-er.
From at least the outside looking in, not knowing, you know, Jonathan Allen or DeMeco and them sitting down with Jonathan Allen. Clint, to me, we talked about the place on the defense where you could say, hey, let's see them really take a chance and jump and improve on there. You feel good on the edge rushers. You feel good to the with the linebackers. And you feel good with the corners. Safety maybe a little bit there, but you feel pretty good there. The one spot where you're like, hey, this could be taken up a notch is if you get a dude in the middle, a D tackle in the middle, and it looks like 29-year-old Jonathan Allen, who we've talked about before, is going to become available. And this two-time Pro Bowler before 30 come available. Clint, I think the Texans should at the very least be involved in these conversations.
Yeah, look,
checking in.
It is the absolute definition of the kind of guy that I'm talking about. I love DeMeco's thought once again up front on the defensive line with, hey, because he's adamant about it. Look, I believe in eight guys and I believe in rotating eight guys, and they all bring different skill sets to the table, and we'll use them accordingly. Hey, I get it, man. And I like what he's done across the board with this defense. Hard to complain. The next step for me is a plug and play guy like a Jonathan Allen that when critical moments come up, whether it's a critical drive late in the game into first half or a critical down on third and whatever, you put a guy in there that commands a double team, that the offense goes, hey, we got to put two on Jonathan Allen. Now you've got one of your defensive ends singled up or needing some kind of help. So now you got the offense guessing. You got the offense trying to figure out a way to stop you. I think Jonathan Allen would take this thing to the next level. You're looking at base salary next year of $15.5 million. There's a $6 million prorated signing bonus, which I believe that would go back to Washington. Not 100% positive. There's a little roster bonus, a little workout bonus, but those are, I mean, they total $800,000. No factor, no impact on whether the Texans would be interested or not.
Would you be in the thought of ripping it up and getting a new deal that's, you know, 2-3 year deal? Maybe, obviously, potentially make the money come down early.
Yeah, look,
would you be going long term, or would you treat this like Diggs?
I think he's a guy that you could do either way. I mean, it just depends on what you want for him. I wouldn't go giving up second round picks for a 1 year. Yeah. A 1 year, then agree to let him hit the free agent market. No, I mean, I would. Jonathan Allen to me is a guy that, you would at least go, if you do go get him, the intentions are he plays really well and you sign him to an extension, or you sign him to an extension before, because there's plenty of tape out there of who he is. I don't know where he lands in the D-line market, but I know when it comes to interior defensive linemen that are going to be available, you're going to be hard-pressed to find one that's better than him.
Clint and Tyler, the thought of a Jonathan Allen having the chance to have single coverage in rushing the passer from the interior, that is a scary
with proposition. With Danielle Hunter on one end and Will Anderson coming off the other?
And Nico Autry maybe on the other side of him?
Yeah, I didn't think
like
that.
Like, this is a guy that a lot of the time he's been in Washington has been the focal point of the guy up front they're trying to stop. And him to be able to go against interior linemen one-on-one a lot because of what's around him, like that is a scary, scary proposition for teams that have to face the Texans. Because, there are times where Danielle Hunter had to go, that you were forced to go one-on-one, or Will, you were forced to go one-on-one. And as we saw, you know, in games a lot this year, the final game, the Super Bowl, that rush from the interior is the thing that really caused havoc. You've said that since, you know, we've had conversations for 5 years about the rush from the inside is the one that causes major concern. That would make the Texans D-line super scary if they had a player like that.
Yeah.
Look, in the middle.
That's, I mean, I've said it a million times. To me, that's where this team can take that. Defensively, there's not many places where you can take a big step. And interior defensive line play is one of them. A dude like this that's just on a whole different level than anybody that you've had here for a long time. And then you plug in some of the similar guys that you've had over the last year, the Mario Edwards type guys, and those guys are your rotational pieces, then you're on to something right there, no doubt.
Clearly, they're going to try to make a run after Myles Garrett, right? Is that what this?
Let's
that,
go.
Is, the Washington's going to try to make a run up to Myles Garrett, and that's got to be kind of be where, hey, let's go ahead and unload old Jonathan Allen. Let's see if we can get a little extra cash.
Go for it, Washington.
Yeah, there we go.